On today's show, I am joined by special guest co-host Austin Church, a very talented freelancer and author of the new book, Free Money. It's all about growing your revenue as a freelancer. And we talk today about calculating your survival rate. That's the rate that you need in order to stay in business as a freelancer. What's the minimum amount of money that you need to make in order to stay in business? So if you've wondered how to calculate that rate best, stay tuned for today's Q&A episode with Austin Church and me, Preston Lee. Here we go. I'm Preston.
And I'm Clay, and this is Freelance to Founder.
You're listening to a Q&A episode where listeners like you from around the world write in to ask us questions about freelancing or building an agency.
We've each built multiple six- or seven-figure businesses.
On this show, we're changing the lives of everyday freelancers just like you.
Discovering this podcast a few months ago really like changed the trajectory of my journey.
Really, really valuable stuff. I've made a ton of notes and I plan to put this stuff into action immediately.
Discovering that I'm a founder instead of a freelancer has been amazing for me.
If you're ready to push past hourly rates and build a business that sets you free, then you've got to join us.
Just submit your question at freelancetofounder.com/ask and we'll do our best to answer it. And we'll be right back with today's question right after this. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant, or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply. You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Freelance to Founder. Today, of course, is a special Q&A episode where we answer questions submitted by you, our listeners. Joining me today is a special guest co-host, Austin Church, a friend of mine and a talented, skilled freelancer from the website freelancecake.com. Welcome, Austin.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here with you.
I am excited to be here. We have done this once before. It's nice to catch up again. And I'm excited to introduce you to our listeners at Freelance to Founder. Want to chat about your new book that just came out. And we're going to take a little bit of a different format today, where normally we would take listener questions from you, the listeners. I actually have some questions for Austin that I think will be helpful both for me, but also for the listeners as they grow their businesses. So before we do that, Austin, really quick, a quick plug for your book. And then I have some questions based on some of the content in your book on freelancing. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So the book is called Free Money. It is a pricing and money mindset guide for freelancers and consultants. When I got started freelancing, I didn't know a whole lot about pricing. There weren't a whole lot of resources. 15 years later, I know more than I care to know about pricing, mostly due to mistakes that I've made. And so what I did with the book is just lay out a step-by-step approach that works really well for me. And then the second half of the book is more about figuring out what the money is for. Like, if presumably people want to make more money, well, what's it going to be for? What does that mean in your life? Yeah. And then there's some other bits and pieces just along the lines of, hey, figuring out what you want to charge is one thing. Actually winning projects at those prices out in the market is another thing. So there are principles and some mindset stuff too.
And we'll be sure to link up to Austin's book. You can buy it in a few different formats, but tell them where the best place to purchase the book is going to be, Austin.
So you can go to freelancecake.com, and there's a link to the book right there in the main navigation. Or if you look up my name, Austin L. Church, or go to austinlchurch.com, you know, the book is right there too. So it's pretty easy to find.
Excellent. And like I say, we'll be sure to link to that in the show notes of this Q&A episode. Austin, let's start off a little bit. We were reviewing the contents of the book, you talk about this thing called your survival number, right? And this process to calculate your survival number. And survival number, I've heard it described a few different ways. Some friends of mine used to call it like ramen profitable, right? It was like you're kind of barely getting by.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to know how to figure that out, right? A lot of freelancers start off and they're just like, I'll see if this works, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to saying like, what does it mean for this to work enough that I can survive, that I can maybe quit my job, or that I can at least support myself doing this? And of course, there's so much more to it than survival. But if you start there, I imagine that's why the book starts there at your survival number, is just to say like, how do I at least get out from under a job or from under a boss, or maybe I lost my job. How do I at least survive doing this freelancing thing? And so how can a freelancer what's everything they should consider when developing that survival number? There's personal expenses, business expenses, there's taxes. Mm-hmm. Like, what all should I be laying out maybe in a spreadsheet or on a piece of paper as I'm figuring out my survival number?
Yeah, great. I would love to answer that question. You kind of hit on the most important thing, which is, we have to start with our own needs, with our own lifestyle, with what we're already spending. The mistake I made, and you may have made it too, Preston, for all I know, is you just kind of look around and you're like, well, that person charges that, and that sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so we just blindly imitate other people without taking a step back and saying, what does my life and business cost? And so the survival number is about coming up with an annualized or yearly number for what you need to make to not get yourself into financial trouble. So that number is actually made up of three other numbers. Think about it like your living expenses. So how much does it cost for you to just live each month? And again, that can vary widely based on whether you live in a small town in the Midwest, mm-hmm. or a big city like New York, or the suburbs of a city like Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you just blindly copy other people whose cost of living is dramatically different than yours, either lower or higher, you may not come up with freelance rates that are sustainable and smart and strategic for you. So step one always needs to be downloading statements from your debit card or your credit card, ideally 3 months worth, 90 days, and then just add it up. Like, how much did you spend? Withhold judgments temporarily. I mean, I'm sure we could all find places where we could cut spending.
It's like a fact-finding mission, right?
Yes. You're just after the facts. You're not saying I should eat at Chipotle less. Like, set that aside for a moment and just say, how much do I spend during an average month? So you get that 90-day total, divide that by three. That's what you're spending each month to live. Right.
In fact, yeah. And I agree with you. When I did this, I actually tried to leave out as many details as I could, meaning it wasn't like, how much did I spend at Chipotle this month? It was like, okay, the credit card bill was this, the house bill is this, mm-hmm. you know, and I took them in big chunks because I knew that we were going to probably keep spending close to what we were spending before. I've got a family. So like, it's not like all of a sudden I can switch a family of five to eating only ramen for dinner. Right. And so I knew we were going to stick with kind of mostly our same lifestyle. And that was the hope that we would, and that it would even improve. And so I just took sort of these big swaths of information and said, you know, we spend about this much every month to sustain our current lifestyle. So I agree with that. I love that.
There is one thing that is predictable about life and spending, and that is unpredictability, curveballs. So
right.
You're going to be tempted when you look at these expenses to be like, oh yeah, but like I took a vacation that month and that's unusual. It's like, well, if it weren't the vacation, it would be new tires. And if it weren't new tires, right, then it would be like some health event.
Surgery or something. Yep.
Right. So divide that 90-day total by three, get the number for an average month's worth of living expenses, you know, put a pin in that, set that aside, and then you do the same for your freelance business. Now, I have found that it's not dramatically different in terms of operating expenses if you're a full-time freelancer or a part-time freelancer, unless you have office space. But regardless of whether you're part-time or full-time, you want to do the same thing. If you have a dedicated checking and credit card for your business purchases, which I strongly recommend in the book, I think I call it a business dad moment. It's just this aside where I'm like, please, please, please get a dedicated, like get dedicated bank accounts for your business. Anyway, if you've got dedicated accounts, then it's pretty easy to just download statements and do the exact same thing. Download 3 months worth, divide by three, get your average. And yes, I get that there are some purchases that only happen once a year, maybe like a domain registration renewal, maybe some of the apps that you use, you have like a yearly plan rather than a monthly plan. I get that. You know, if you really must, you can add an additional 10% or whatever to your monthly total, but you're coming up with your monthly average, right? And so when you add your monthly average for business operating expenses and your average for monthly living expenses, you can come up with your like post-tax, you know, it wouldn't be post-tax, but you've got those numbers. Next, you need to think about tax, right? And again, this can be tricky based on where you live. I live in Tennessee where there's no state income tax. If you live in California, you definitely have state income tax. So what I typically recommend that people do is either be super conservative and use a number like 30% if you're in the US, meaning if you need to make, let's say, $5,000 a month to cover your living expenses and your business operating expenses, well, then that $5,000 a month is only 70%. That's kind of like the net, the gross of what you need to make is more because you need to pay taxes on time, not get yourself into trouble with the tax authority in your city or state or country, right? So that's the third number you need to figure out is like, how much are you paying in tax each year? And I got bitten by this one early on. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think so many freelancers do.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And then, tax and then, time came around.
It's like 20 or 30%. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And I didn't read so much. Yeah. And like, even though I loved the independence, the fact that my old boss had paid half that whole time. Yeah, I didn't realize like that whole time he was like paying half of FICA for me, and that if I was self-employed, I got to pay both halves. Oops.
Right.
Anyway, you know, I don't love to give tax percentage advice on the fly because it could be so wrong. But either look at last year's tax return or talk to your CPA or talk to a few other people who live in your city and say, hey, you know, do you know what your, like how the approximate percentage you paid in tax, what that was last year? And then I would, if you can talk to two people, add their numbers up, divide by two, come up with what your tax number is, tax percentage, I should say. And then if you add those three numbers up, there's a little bit of math involved. It's in the book. But if you add those numbers up, then you come up with what you need to make per month in order to pay your taxes on time, you know, pay your operating expenses, pay your living expenses, multiply that times 12. And that is your survival number. Like, this is the amount of money I need to make in a year as a freelancer to not get myself into financial trouble. That's the first number. Really important place to start.
Yeah. If you want to take your freelancing career further than a few months, like if you really want this thing to work, then you have to know what that survival number looks like. So many people get in trouble early on because it's like all of a sudden I'm spending way more than I thought I was going to spend. I'm not bringing in nearly as much as I thought I was going to early on. Of course, I'm a huge proponent also of a large runway, a nice safety net, because this happens. And until it sort of evens out, and it will even out and you'll figure it out, but until you get a really good handle, and even all of this great math that I agree you should do ahead of time, even that will be a little bit wrong, right? And so I think you want to have a little bit of a cushion and then do your math well. In fact, I'm really surprised as we talk how closely aligned your book is with our freelance rate calculator, which some people, including Clay, some people have said is too complicated. But I'm sort of like, well, you know, we could just sort of lick our finger and stick it in the air and hope that we...
which way is the wind blowing?
Yeah,
that sounds pretty good.
We hope that we guess that the number's right. But for me, it's like, no, let's break it down and say, what are all my expenses? You know, our freelance rate calculator, it starts with how much you want to make in spendable income. And then it does talk about your work schedule, which I know in the book you talk about, like, what's my actual realistic... what's the term you use? Like the real availability or true availability?
So there are a couple of numbers that I talk about, but... going back to the complexity just for a second, right? Like that's of all of the things to really engage with, take your time with, and do thoroughly, isn't setting your freelance rates one of the best things that you can treat with that level of care and consideration? Like of all the things to not just improvise or to kind of make up on the fly, this is really important, right? Because when you think about the feeling of undercharging, or I think about that feeling when my CPA back in my very first year, that was April 2010, when I meet with this CPA and he's like, oh yeah. And you know, did you make your quarterly estimated payments? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, this is what you're going to owe. And it was a total gut punch. Mm-hmm. So I think to avoid undercharging, to avoid under earning, to avoid that terrible feeling when you work so hard and you still feel like you're barely scraping by, like put in the time.
Yep.
Like of all the things to put in, it's like, this is your financial health we're talking about. And financial health makes such a contribution to mental health. So isn't it worth putting in the time? Okay. I'm done on that little complexity soapbox.
I think that's so well said. And I've said for years and years too, I think it can be so easy. You know, a lot of people in our audience are creative freelancers, right? So they write, they develop websites, they do graphic design, they, you know, they're illustrators, whatever. There's all these sort of creative and because you love the creative work, and it doesn't just have to be creative work, but I find that it's very, very common amongst creatives. Because you love the creative work, right? You sometimes forget that when you're running a business, literally the only thing that sets a hobby apart from a business is that it makes money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you aren't making money, then your business is not a business. I guess maybe that's not true in startup tech world anymore. But like in reality, in the real
with
world,
a small
where you don't
business,
have an angel investor,
yes. yes.
And if you're not making money, you're not in business. You have a hobby. And so for me, that's I agree with you. It's like what could be more important when talking about a business, not talking about how it impacts your life. Yes, I agree. Lifestyle is very important. I work for myself, not for the money necessarily, but for other benefits. But if I didn't worry about the money, I wouldn't be able to work for myself. Right. And so I think it's so critical to get those numbers right, and they'll change over time,
mm-hmm.
but understanding how you get to those numbers. And so that's why I love the premise of your book here and some of the key numbers that it helps us pick out. And I think this is a good start, sort of identifying that survival number. So thanks for walking us through that today. Austin, also wanted to plug really quickly here in a few weeks, you're going to be doing a webinar with us. So we will have a link to that in the episode below, but give us a quick plug for that webinar and then we'll round out the episode and say goodbye.
Yeah. It's a perfect segue. It's a webinar about efficiency of all things and about finding little 5-minute wins where if you can be more efficient in delivering work that you're really proud of, then your effective hourly rate goes up and you're able to make more money in less time. And so those little 5-minute efficiency wins and freelance hacks can make a dramatic impact on your income across a year. That's what we're going to talk about.
I love it. So we will be sure to link to that. Milo, my company, and one of our favorite partners, Moxie, we're going to partner on that webinar. Austin's going to host that. He's going to teach us those genius 5-minute hacks that are really just going to level up your business. So stay tuned for that. We'll have details on that coming. And Austin, I think we'll see you again next week on our next Q&A episode. But for now, thanks so much for chiming in. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Freelance to Founder, a collaboration between Milo, Drippify, and the Pogglomerate.
You can find links to my business, Milo, Clay's business, Drippify, and of course our podcasting partner, the Pogglomerate, all in the description of this episode.
Remember to call in for your own episode at freelancetofounder.com.
A very special thank you to the members of the Milo and Pogglomerate teams who work behind the scenes to make this production possible.
To stream past episodes, visit freelancetofounder.com or search Freelance to Founder wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for now. Until next time, see ya.
We will see you guys on the next episode of Freelance to Founder.